This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Can you give God a shout of victory today? Amen. Open your Bible to the Old Testament, and we end our series today. I can't believe this month is about over, and like we said, next weekend, Pastor Treat will be with us. It will be a treat in all three services, I promise you. And so we're ending our series today on Don't Limit God. You know, it's a powerful thing when you realize that God is for you, and God wants to be with you and in you. God wants to go before you. In fact, God wants to be your rear guard. It's an amazing thing when you realize that. It's an amazing thought when you realize that with God, all things are possible. That all of us, we're limited to what we can do, right? But when God, all things are possible. So we're talking about don't limit God. In 2010, my daughter-in-law, Tamara, she'd given birth to Lana. And out of that birth, there were some complications, and they had to give her a spinal tap. And when they did, out of that, she got spinal meningitis. And it was the worst of the worst kind. It was right in July, I can still remember, 2010. And the doctors were doing everything that they could. And I'm not exaggerating. You can ask Daniel. You can ask Tamara. Basically, the doctors came to Daniel and said, there's not much hope for Tamara to live. She's going to need a miracle. This is the worst of the worst of the worst that we've ever seen. This is my daughter-in-law. This is the mother of my grandchildren. This is my son's wife. Very bleak, very dark. To be told that, we're all excited about her giving birth to Lana. And out of that came this dark, dark hour of our life in the Blunt family. And the doctor said, there's not a whole lot that we can do. We need a miracle. And you know what? They did the best they could do, but they were limited. But with God, you and I can live an unlimited life. Amen? When man is unable, God is able. When man is limited, but we serve a God who is unlimited, if we can believe, all things are possible. So, you know, we chose to believe God. That's the answer today, isn't it, for all of us? Whatever you're facing, to believe God. And God gets the glory. We chose to believe God and speak faith. And you know what? God brought a specific doctor who had the expertise and the skill, but also, you know, he was encouraging us all to believe and pray, and out of that came a miracle. As all you know, Tamara's downstairs right now working in our children's department. And Lana, our granddaughter, is blessed, healthy, and happy. Come on, let's give the Lord a thank you for miracles today. So I know what it's like when you're faced with a situation where you don't have the resources or the ability, when you're told that there's nothing that we can do, that man can do. I know the feeling, like many of you have felt and gone through things like that. But I want to encourage you today that we don't want to limit God in situations like that. We don't want to tie God's hands, because God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think, according to the power that's at work on the inside of us. So what we're going to do, we're going to end this series today, but I want to give you 6 reasons on how these people limited God. We're looking at a story in the Bible of the children of Israel. Do you remember they were in Egypt in bondage? God rose up a leader, Moses, to take them out of bondage. God said, my will is to bring you out so you can go into the promised land. So what happened? God, sure enough, brought them out with signs and wonders and miracles. God brought them out, but God could not bring them in because they limited God for what God could do and wanted to do in their life. And you recall they died off in the wilderness, didn't they? They died off in the wilderness, and even though it was God's will to take them into the promised land, it's a type of abundant life. It's a type of successful life, a successful life. That was God's will for them, but God couldn't carry out his will because they limited God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that we are to look at this story and we are to learn from this story. I would rather learn from their mistakes than my own mistakes. How about you? And so that's what we're doing today. So look at Psalm 78 with me on the overhead, Psalm 78, verse 22. Because they believed not in God. Now let the word talk to you today. God's word is God talking to us. Because they believed not in God, and they trusted not in his salvation. Next verse, verse 41. Yea, they turned back, and they tempted God, and they, would y'all look on the overheads? It says, and they limited God. That's in the Bible, isn't it? It's incredible that they limited what God wanted to do and what God was able to do, but God could not do because of them. So we've already found out a few things. And number one, if you're a note taker, and also reviewing, because through repetition, you are established. A lot of you can't even remember what I taught on 2 weeks ago. So it's good always to repeat. And through repetition, wisdom comes. So number one, they limited God through their small thinking. Small thinking. The story is, remember they sent 12 spies out to spy out the land, and 10 came back with a negative report, 2 came back with a positive report, Joshua and Caleb. And the 10 came back, it says, with an evil report. The 2 came back with a good report. You and I want to be speaking a good report over our life and our future. We do not want to be speaking evil. Definitely, we do not want to be cursing our own life and limiting what God wants to do. So we see they came back, and what did they say? They said, you know, it's true what God said, Moses. It's true, you know, that the land is flowing with milk and honey, that the land is blessed, and the fruit there, the grapes, the clusters of grapes, are so big, it takes 2 men to carry 1 cluster of grapes. I remember years ago, I took a group from our church to Israel, and we were shopping, and I remember I bought, they had a wooden little statue of 2 men carrying the cluster of grapes. They were so big. Put it on my desk, it was there for years, to remind me that God wants us to look at the grapes and not the giants in our life. So they came back with an evil report. 2 came back with a good report. And what was the problem? Their small thinking. Doesn't the Bible say, as we think in our heart, so will our life be? Doesn't it say that he's able to do above all we can ask or think? Doesn't the Bible say, now think with me, in Isaiah, doesn't it say in Isaiah 55, God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That means bigger. And my ways are greater than your ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So you and I, this year, to flourish, we want to exchange our thoughts for God's thoughts. We want to have a great exchange. We want to stop thinking small, and we want to start thinking big in 2017. So they limited God with their small thinking. Number two, they limited God with their wrong attitudes. I went online a few months ago, and I saw on the internet it said that people are fired and let go of their jobs over their attitudes more than anything else. Attitude was more important than ability. See, if you have a right attitude, you can learn skill. But if you have a stinking attitude, you can't even learn a new skill. So because of their wrong attitudes, they limited God. Our attitude really does determine our altitude in life. So number one, they limited God with their small thinking. Number two, they limited God with their wrong attitudes. And number three, they limited God by focusing on their obstacles. You know, I love our church. I love you. You have a pastor who really loves you. And one of the people on our fast in our congregation, they actually said this, I'm going to fast the I can'ts of my life. Oh my goodness, they're in for transformation this year. I'm going to fast the I can'ts in my life. You see, you and I are to be can-do people. Doesn't the Bible say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Philippians 4:13. So because they were focusing on the obstacles, they limited what God could do. You know, they were talking about how big the giants, how massive the tribes. They were talking how wide the walls, and they were talking about why they couldn't, and they were looking at the obstacle in their way. They were focusing on that. And I found out, I'm sure you have, I found out that when I focus on my problems, and it's easy to do that, isn't it? Well, when we focus on our problems, my faith shrinks. When I focus on my problems, my faith shrinks. So number three, they limited God with their what? Focusing on the obstacles, the I can'ts. Number four, they limited God through their unbelief. They limited God. The Bible actually says they could not enter in because of their unbelief. Now, family, there are two kinds of unbelief in the Bible, two kinds. One is out of ignorance. We just don't know. The Bible says that we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The other one is out of rebellion, unbelief out of rebellion. We choose, we know better, we've seen God do miracles, but we just don't want to serve Him and follow Him and submit our life to Him. We want to do it Frank Sinatra's way. We want to do it our way. Who's Frank Sinatra? It doesn't matter, praise the Lord. So we see that what they did was they limited God with their unbelief. So unbelief comes two ways, either out of ignorance, a lack of knowledge, or it comes out of rebellion. And theirs was out of rebellion. Because the Bible says in Psalm 95, they saw all the miracles, but yet their hearts were hardened. They saw God do great and mighty things, but yet they chose not to believe. Folks, miracles don't bring faith. Oh, Pastor, if we could just have people come out of their wheelchairs at our altar, that's happened here at Church on the Rock. If we just have the blind eyes open, that's happened here at Church on the Rock. If we just have the deaf ears, that's happened here at Church on the Rock. If we just have the lame walk, we've seen that over 33 years. And I've seen people actually get up and walk out of our services yawning while all that's going on. Miracles never bring faith. Miracles arrest our attention. That's what miracles do. And we believe in miracles, amen? But they saw all the miracles, but they chose not to believe God. So either I am into believing or unbelieving. Now, if I'm an unbelieving, my heart is going to get harder every day of my life. And it's going to get more difficult to hear God's voice. I know I'm in unbelief if I'm expecting the worst and I'm negative. I know I'm in belief if I'm expecting things to get better. Yeah, and I'm expecting tomorrow to be better than today. So number four, how did they limit God? Through their unbelief. Now go with me in your Bible to Numbers. Would you go there? Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14, here's the fifth way. Is this the fifth way? The fifth way they limited God. Now, listen very carefully because this is going to change your life. They limited God with their wrong confession. Their wrong confession. Really, confession always comes before possession. Confession comes before possession. Pastor, what do you mean confession? Are you talking about, you know, like going before a priest and confessing? No, 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 no. The confession I'm talking about in the Greek, it means saying the same thing God has already said. Why don't we stop repeating the news? Why don't we stop repeating disgruntled, unhappy people? Why don't we stop repeating all the negativity, all the prejudice, all the racism, all the turmoil, all the terror? Why don't we stop repeating that? And why don't we start saying what God has already said in His Word? When you and I put God's Word in our mouth, it creates an environment for our faith to accelerate. When you and I put God's Word in our mouth, it creates an environment for our faith to accelerate. Are you with me, family? And so, the wrong confession. Do words matter? Sure enough, I've seen divorces over words. Wars are created over words. Strife and division, murder and rape, incest over words. Breakups, separation over words. Does it really matter what I say? I think it does. Let's look at this situation, Numbers 14. And the Lord said unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, this is God talking to Moses. Next verse. How long will I bear with this evil congregation who murmur against me? Remember, they had the wrong attitude, right? They were blaming God. They were complaining, and our good friend who we support, Joyce Myers, says it like this: if I complain, I remain. So notice they're complaining, and God says, I have heard their murmurings. Now, if God hears murmurings, God hears statements of faith. If God hears negative talk, God hears positive talk. It must matter. So it goes on to say, next verse, verse 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord. Now watch this, family. Let the word speak to you. Look how incredible this is. This is Bible. He says, God says, say to them, as truly as I live, as you, this congregation, have spoken and I have heard, so I will do into your life. What you have said, that's what I'm able to do or not do in your life. And what did they say? We can't go in. The giants are bigger than us and our God. Even though God promised us, the giants and the obstacles are bigger. They were talking negatively. They were talking debt and defeat and depression. They were talking fear and failure. They were giving God no access in their life for Him to go to work and do exploits. God says, as you have spoken, that's what I'm able to do in your life. Folks, confession comes before possession. I gotta say it to get it. I'll never get it till I say it. And it's not saying it once or once a week or one day a week or a week out of the month. It has to be a lifestyle. It's what I'm saying when I hit my finger with a hammer. It's what I'm saying when someone rushes in front of me on Highway 94. It's what I'm saying when somebody gives me sign language on Interstate 70. You know what I'm talking about. You see, our confession, it's not what we say in church. It's what are we saying when we're faced with an obstacle and we're all alone. Because out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. And it's not faith until it gets in our heart. It's not faith in our head. You don't believe with your head or your mind or your brain. It starts with your mouth, goes to your head, lands in your heart, and then you know you're believing. When you're in trouble, the first thing that comes out of our mouth is a promise. It's saying what God has already said. And there are 7,000 promises in the Bible, so surely there's one for your problem and my problem today. Can we have a praise break? Come on, let's give God big praise for victory today. Hallelujah. So it was the wrong confession that kept them out. It was what they were saying opposite of God's will. They were speaking contrary to the word and the promise of God. This won't work if I'm speaking in the opposite direction of it. This will not come to reality, not come to fruition, if I'm speaking negative in the opposite direction of God's will for my life. Amen. So it was the wrong confession. You see, it's so important. You and I cannot even get saved without confessing. Doesn't the Bible say you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth unto salvation? So we can't even get born again without making a confession. We can't, and then that's how we partake of salvation. And then when we're in the kingdom of God, that's how we partake of everything else that God has for us. It's with our confession. You see, it's not faith until you say it. There's a dead spot here. Ellie, would you check it out? I'm coming over here. It's not faith till you say it. You got to say it. You got to say it to get it. You got to say it to get it. Faith comes by hearing ourselves saying the promises of God. Let's stop repeating what our enemies are saying, what our skeptics around us are saying, cynical people, hurt, broken, you know, bruised, bitter people, and let's start repeating and saying what God has already said about you. So notice God says, you tell them I can only do what they have been saying. So it's important that you and I speak God's promises, because then that gives God access to go to work in our life. Proverbs 18, verse 20. Am I helping anybody today? I'm here to help you. Proverbs 18, 20. A man's belly will be satisfied. A man's belly will be satisfied. Wow. So we can be satisfied. You know, what the Rolling Stones said in 1966 is untrue. Who's the Rolling Stones? That does matter. You need to know who they are. I can't get no satisfaction. That's the number one rock and roll song in history. That's what it's been judged at. I can't get no. I'm feeling you. It's slow, but I'm feeling you. And here the Bible says a man's belly can be satisfied with the fruit of your mouth. Now, church, notice that our mouth produces fruit. Our mouth produces fruit. Well, Pastor, is that grapes and oranges? No. It's talking about consequences. That the consequences we're in today is a result of what we've been saying for the last year. Our mouth, whether we like it, will create negative fruit or positive fruit. Our mouth will create fruit that limits us or releases and gives God access in our life. Whether we like it or not, 724, our mouth is producing fruit of some kind. So he says that out of your mouth, it produces fruit, and with the increase, I like that word, and with the increase of your lips will you be filled. Now everyone look up here, right, for just a second. Family, friends, online campus, nations of the world, do you see where increase starts? Can I have a group hug with whoever said in your mouth? It doesn't start at work. It doesn't start with your bank account and your investments. It doesn't start with the government entitlement programs. It doesn't start in the White House or Wall Street. It doesn't start, you know, in your portfolio. Increase, according to the Bible, starts in our mouth. Increase starts in our mouth. So can I say it this way? If I'm going to flourish this year, then it's going to start in my mouth with the words that I'm speaking, my affirmations, my confession, my vocabulary. It's going to start. Increase starts in, you can get a raise right here at Church on the Rock today. You got to start talking it. Well, Pastor, it'll never, it can't. Wash your mouth out with the Word of God. Fast that, I can't. It won't. Fast that. Because increase is going to start in our mouth. Why don't I ever get a good raise? Why don't I have the clients? Why does everything always go wrong for me? Because it's under your nose. It starts in your mouth. Increase by the lips, you will be filled. You know, I can't have an abundant life until I start speaking life. Now think about that logic in Revelation. John 10:10, didn't he come to give us life and life more abundantly? Well, I can't enjoy God's best or abundant life and speak death and negative and critical and debt and defeat and depression and failure and fear and panic and problems. It's a no-brainer. If I want abundant life, I have to start speaking life over everything in my world. So notice that I won't be filled, I won't have a fulfilled life if I'm just repeating what the masses are saying. I won't have a fulfilled life if I'm jealous, if I'm envious, if I'm mad, if I'm angry, if I'm murmuring, if I'm blaming. I won't have an abundant life until I start speaking life. I won't have a fulfilled life until I start talking life. So you know what? Just tithe off that raise you're getting right now, Church on the Rock. Come on, let's give God a big praise break. Amen. Next verse, verse 21. Death and life are in the power. So death and life are in the power of the pastor. It doesn't really matter what we say. Bible says it does. Your tongue has power. You know, the Bible says our tongue is like a rudder on a ship. It's like a bit in the bridle of a horse's mouth. I liken it to, it's like a steering wheel in your car. Your mouth is giving direction for your life. So bottom line, let's stop speaking words that is stealing our future. Let's stop speaking words that is stealing our future. Amen. Well, Pastor, you know, it's so hard. I try and then I mess up. We all do. Pastor, you know, I know what you're saying is true and I've tried that. It didn't work. Wash your mouth out with the Word of God. It does work. It will work. But you have to work it. And it starts with your mouth. Increase a fulfilled life. Breakthroughs. Abundant life. It starts flourishing. It starts with your mouth. And you got to keep saying it till you get it in your head. And you renew your mind to God's thoughts. And then you know that it's gone from your head to your heart. When you're in trouble, the first thing out of your mouth is not cussing, cursing, arguing. The first thing out of your mouth is not negative, debt, despair, defeat, depression. The first thing out of your mouth is a promise from God saying what God has already said. Oh, I know we do. Can we have another praise break? I feel breakthroughs. I see breakthroughs. Doesn't the Bible say, you can just write it down in Job, we won't go there, but Job 22:28, doesn't it say, decree a thing, decide a thing? I think it's time we decide this year we're going to flourish with God's help. I think that we decide that increase is on its way. I think we need to start declaring abundant life by speaking life. And not death and cursing our job, our car, our house, our marriage, our kids, our future. Amen. So they limited God. Number five, what was it? Through their wrong confession. Now look with me in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 23. Verse 27, I'm sorry. Numbers 13, 27. Now here's number six, and this is our final one, and here's where we end our series. I hope it's been a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to me. All right? Look here. He says, and they told him, same story, spies come back. And they told him and said, we came into the land that you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And there is fruit. Man, the size of those grapes. Next verse, verse 28. Nevertheless, the people are so strong that dwell in the land, small thinking, wrong attitudes, focusing on the problems, focusing on the obstacles, unbelief. And the cities are walled and very great, verse 29. And the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Termites, and the Starwites, whatever. Next verse. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able. Boy, that's faith talking right there, isn't it? Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now let's go back to verse 27. I want to bring out the sixth point. And they told him and said, we came into the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And we saw. And we saw. What does that mean? And we saw. Verse 29. Verse 29, and he looks at all the tribes. Next verse. Again, the next verse. Caleb tried to steal the people, and he couldn't do it. Notice, they said, we are grasshoppers in our own sight. And when they saw the giants in the land, the fifth thing, is it number six or five? The sixth thing that limited them was they were walking by sight. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Doesn't the Bible say in 2 Corinthians, as a praise team comes, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, doesn't it say that don't focus on the temporal, because the temporal is subject to change. Focus on the eternal, because it will never change. This weekend, the weather's 50, 60 degrees, tops are down, motorcycles last night, last week, ice storm. It's just like the weather, isn't it? The things around us are temporal and subject to change. And if you and I walk by sight, we'll limit God. You and I have to choose to walk by faith and not by sight. They said in our own sight, they should have had God's sight. They should have had God's perspective. In our own sight, we as grasshoppers. You should see yourself and your problems through the eyes of God today. Because with God, all things are possible. Would you stand with me, please? Don't anybody leave. And right now, you know, we're going to reflect. They're going to lead us in worship. And let's reflect. Here I am, God. And here's what I'm going to do. God, I surrender my small thinking to you. God, I surrender my attitudes and my focus. God, I surrender my belief system. God, I submit my tongue to you today. Jesus, I make you Lord over my mouth. And then, Lord, today, help me not to walk by sight. Help me to walk by faith. Let's worship the Lord together.